you guys doing? All right, my name's Tim, and I'm an addict. I've been sober since November 8th, 2016, I think. On November 8th, it'll be 2 years, so whatever that is back then, that's when I got sober. So I guess what it was like, what I did to get sober, and how it's like now. What it was like growing up, I didn't have any problems, you know, had a great family, had a great mom, great stepdad, had everything I wanted, every piece of clothing, every bike, every toy, every gaming system. You know, I'm 43, so I went back to the Atari, worked all the way up to like Xbox One, you know, so I had all that shit, you know. So no real weird story back then of like why I did anything, you know what I mean? I mean, everything was absolutely perfect. I was home every night at 5:30 to eat dinner. Had to say my prayers, had to ask to be excused. Had two older brothers. They always used to beat my ass all the time, but that was all right. Let me see, like middle school, nothing. You know, I didn't drink, I didn't smoke weed, nothing through 6th and 7th and 8th grade. Just a minor shit, you know, where you go over to your friend's house and then the parents are gone and then you have like a little bit of liquor. You know, that was it. When I got into high school, still nothing, you know, just like a little bit of beer, you know. Well, I turned 16. My two older brothers had smoked pot, and they listened to rock and roll music. And my one stepbrother had long hair, tried to play the guitar, played like three notes. I think it was from AC/DC or something. The same thing over and over and over again, man, in the fucking bedroom. But I thought he was the coolest cat in the world, man. I wanted to be my brother, man. He was like 6'1", long blonde hair, stoner, smoked Marlboros, you know, smoked weed. I thought he was the coolest cat in the world, man. And so I would always walk up to him and tell him, I'm like, man, I'm like, I want to smoke weed. I want to smoke weed. He's like, man, he's like, I ain't gonna, he said no until I turned 16. I said, all right, cool. So on my 16th birthday, I knocked on his door. He handed me a bag of shake, which I didn't know it was shake at the time because I never smoked weed. It was just like stems and seeds, you know. But I thought it was weed. So I went out. I called my buddy Joe, and we went out and we got the pack of Newports. We got the 40s because, as I said, I'm 43, you know. So I started drinking with 40s. Started with like Old English, St. Ives, Red Bull, Blue Bull, all that shit. You know, it's fucking nasty. It's nasty beer, man. Disgusting. So we bought those. I bought a couple Old English. I bought the Newports because I heard that it was going to enhance the high if you smoked a pack of Newports. So I smoked a quarter, smoked a pack of cigarettes, drank the two things, and I wasn't even high. I was drunk. And I was like, well, this sucks. This is stupid, you know? So then I came home. I fell asleep. I woke up in the morning. My brother asked me how it was. I said, it sucked, dude. And then he starts laughing, and I was like, what? And he's like, well, that's because I gave you a bag of shake. And I was like, oh. I was like, well, that sucks. So then he gave me a bud, you know, and I smoked it. The first time I ever smoked it was out of, like, a gravity bong. I'm not going to go into how it, you know, like, what that is or whatever, because I'm not about that. But if you know what it is, that's great. If not, then too bad. But I smoked out of that. I took one hit, and then I cleared it, and then I passed out for 2 hours. And then I woke up, and I literally passed out. I laid right down. I fell asleep. I woke up, and I was like, man, that was awesome. I said, that was awesome. I said, I like weed, man. I said, that's pretty cool. So I started smoking weed. I never went to school high ever in my life. Not ever since 6th grade up until I graduated high school. I never smoked weed before school, and I never drank before school, even in high school. I just didn't. Around my junior year, I went to a high school. I'm from Rochester, New York. I'm from upstate. I'm not from here. I'm not from Texas. I spent my entire life and upbringing and everything there. I spent like 23 years up there. So in high school, my junior year, I was pretty bad in high school. I was in special education because I had ADHD. So I was on this medicine, Ritalin, and I had to take that every morning or else I'd be flopping around here like these little kids. It's all over the place, you know. And then I was in a class with like 30 people, and I just couldn't concentrate, man. I'm staring at everybody, staring at the women, staring at the guys, staring at the janitor, you know, staring at the piece of chalk. You know, I'm not learning nothing, you know. And then so they stick me in this class where you have the same books and everything, but there's only like 8 people in that class, and it was 8 people just like me, you know, 8 hard asses, you know, and so I loved them, you know. So I spent pretty much my high school years like fighting everybody. I was probably suspended at least once or twice a month for fighting. I was probably an in-school suspension at least twice a week for 4 years straight. That was just guaranteed. It was just something I did. I don't know what was inside my brain, but it just enjoyed fighting. Whether I won or lost, I could take a punch, it didn't matter, and then I could hand one out. I don't know where it came from. It just made me happy. So my junior year, I saw this recruiter. He was in the Marines. He had on his dress blues, and I was hooked right then. I was like, man, that's it, man. I'm going to go in there, and I'm going to shoot people, kill people. I'm going to be in the Marines and all that. It's going to be awesome. And so I talked to him, and he's like, nah, man, you're too young. Actually, I think I was a sophomore because he said I was too young. He said, you have to be 17. And I said, all right, cool. So then I did. So then I went through my whole sophomore year, and then I came back as a junior. And then sure enough, there he was in the same corner, same outfit, you know, same little book and everything. And so I walked up to him, and he had remembered me. And I told him I was 17. He said, if I wanted to enlist, I had to have my mom sign the papers. I was like, all right, cool. So I went home that day, and I said, Mom, I said, I want to join the Marines. And she's like, all right. And then so I handed her the papers, and then she signed them. So then I handed them back to her the next day. To him, and then I was in the late entry program within 48 hours. I was in the United States Marine Corps delayed entry program, where once a week we would go and just do a bunch of like PT, like push-ups and sit-ups and pull-ups and run around, you know, shoot the M16. Just real basic stuff, trying to get you ready to go. And so I was hooked on that, man. I love that. You know, still smoking weed and drinking, but only after school, you know. But I drank a lot, though, after school. You know, like at 3 o'clock, I was drinking. You know, not like out of control, you know, where I would just be like sloppy drunk. But I would just have beers, you know. We would just go get, you know, a case of beers, and all of us would just go to the golf course and drink. You know, like and shoot some golf. You know, pretty normal, and smoke weed. And then I graduated, barely graduated. You needed 21 credits to graduate. I had 21 and a half. I still had over my head 120 days of ISS that I needed to complete. And there's only like 170 days of school or something like that, you know. So I almost had, you know, like a day for day. And somehow they handed me my diploma. The very next day we had a graduation party for school, and then we had a going away party for the Marines. And then I was off. And then the very next day I woke up, I hopped on a bus, went to an airport, went to another city, spent the night there, flew into South Carolina, Parris Island. I jumped on the phone, started to call my mom and tell her I made it. Then I looked down the airport, and there was a guy in his dress greens walking towards me. He had like a frown on his face and all that, and just standing like that and shit. And I'm talking to my mom, and then he's like, hang the phone up now. And I looked at him, and I was like, what? He's like, hang the phone up now. And I was like, all right, click. And then I was off in the Marines. And then I was in South Carolina. So that was supposed to be 13 weeks. And I never told this story to anybody, right? So my entire time of me coming back and forth to Austin from New York, I always lied, right? I always said that I was in the Marines, you know, I mean, like, which I was, but the time that I was in there was a little exaggerated than the time that I was actually in there. And that went on for like 8 years, man, because I was embarrassed, man, because like the drill instructor told me, he was like, if you quit this, he's like, you're not ever going to be able to accomplish anything for the rest of your life ever. And I was like, Jesus Christ, man, that's fucking devastating. You know what I mean? And that's like, quit anyways. So I was standing in formation, and something got over me. Was just something told me that I needed to go home and drink and smoke with my friends. Just standing in formation, an ordinary day. You know, I think I was like 8 weeks in, you know, like 6 or 8 weeks in. You know, like I was doing great. You know, like I was doing awesome. I was getting ready to graduate. I was going to go to hand-to-hand combat over there in North Carolina. And then back then, like I said, I was 43, so that was during the first Gulf War. My first drill instructor got called out and left because he had to go over there, and so then we got another drill instructor in because you always have to have three. So I was just standing there in formation, and you know, I just started to think of how I could leave there before the 13 weeks. And then so I did. You know, I lied. I said I was, you know, like I said I was on Ritalin, which you have to be off for 10 years before you join. And then said some other stuff, and then I was out. Called my mom, told her what happened. She got me from the bus station. I came home that same night. I was out with my buddy smoking and drinking. And then pretty much from then, like 18, up until I was like 25, that's when I did my first hard drug. It was just weed and beer like every day. I wasn't the guy, even when I did dope, man. My story is, and this is, I don't know, it's just me, right? So I'm just going to say, because it's my story and not yours, is that I wasn't the guy that, where they said when they did drugs, you know, then they found something inside them, you know, like, oh man, I found it, you know, this is where it's at, you know, like now I can do this and now I can do that. You know, like it wasn't, you know, that for me. Like when I drank, I got drunk, you know what I mean? I enjoyed being drunk. It didn't make me do anything more than what I was, actually made me do less. Everything I did for drugs or whatever, I did less than what I was doing when I was sober. So actually, you know, like if you look at it that way, I really didn't like it that much, you know, but, you know, I was hooked. So I came back, started to drink, you know, and smoke weed a lot, and then I got married. I met my wife at, or my first wife, at Walmart in Allen, Texas, because I needed a job. Because I kept coming back and forth here, right? The very first time I came to this state, I lasted 2 weeks, and I said, this state sucks, and people are backwards, and I hate it. I said, there's no way I'm going to live in Texas, man. So then I went back to New York. I stayed there for about a year and a half. And then came back. I lasted about a month. I said, no. I said, the people still suck. And I said, I still hate it. And then went back for like another year or so. And then came back again. And then that's when I got the job at Walmart with my stepdad when he was alive at the time. So I got a job in sporting goods. The very next day, I met this girl named Shannon Owens, this black girl. She worked in the front half of the store, like by the cash register. She was like a manager. And at the time, she was hot, you know, smoking hot at the time. And I was like, wow, she's hot. So I talked to her, and I was like, we should go out. And she's like, yeah, sure. And I'm like, all right, cool. So we went out the very next day. We went out to a club, you know, in Dallas. I was drinking. She was drinking. Then all of a sudden, I lost her in the fucking club. I lost her. I'm like, where the hell is this broad at? You know? And then the security guy asked me at the front door, because he saw me walk in with her. He's like, hey, he's like, did you walk in with this girl, you know, this black girl, thin, you know, blah, 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 lips, all this. And I was like, yeah, yeah. I was like, where the hell is she? And then he's like, she's upstairs, passed out. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? And then he's like, yeah. And I'm like, all right. So I go up the stairs, and then we carry her out, right? I got her feet, and he's got her hands. First date. First freaking date with this broad. And, you know, she's having to go to the hospital to get her stomach pumped, right? So I'm just like, I'm in love, you know what I mean? I'm like, man, she's gorgeous, you know? I'll go with her, you know? I'm like, I'll wait, you know? And then I'm there 3 hours, man, 3 hours. It was, I think we left the club at like one, you know? And then I'm like, man, I'm like, I put 3 hours in on this person, you know? Like I said some other words, like, you know, I put 3 hours in on this broad. I was like, I'm gonna sleep with her, you know? So I waited. And then she got out. She got out of the hospital. I drove her home. I had sex with her, and then she got pregnant. And then I had my son. Just like that. Just like that. Had sex once. And we didn't have sex after we had, how I know it was mine, because we didn't have sex after that one night. I don't know if she felt bad or weird, like, oh my God, I can't believe I did that. And I was like, I don't care. She called me like 2 weeks later, and she's like, I missed my period. And I was like, no, I'm not going down that road. I was like, I'm not an idiot. You know, you're not going to pull that card on me that you missed your period, and all of a sudden I'm the dad. I was like, no. And then we talked and everything, and I got to know her like a little bit more throughout the 2 weeks. I was like, well, let's wait and see if you really miss your period. And so we continued to date and everything, and then like a month or two went by, and I was like, still no period? She's like, no. And I was like, fuck. I was like, all right. I was like, all right, cool. So she went and got looked at. She was pregnant. And the reason I know it's mine is because I told her, I was like, I need a, what, like a DNA or a paternity test, or not like paternity test, but I need proof that it's mine. You know what I mean? So whatever you got to do to him and whatever you got to do to me to match up, I'm good with that. So we did that, and then it was mine. And she was cool with that. You know, she's like, I don't care what you do. She was like, I know it's yours, you know? And so I did that, and that was my son. And And so I stayed with my son for about 6 months, maybe. I don't even think he was walking yet. I told my wife, I said, I'm going out to get some bread. I went to New York for 3 years. I came back after that. So I missed my son walking and talking, everything. That was a long bread trip. But that was the exact words. I'm not lying. I said, I'm going to get some bread. I went home to my house. I packed my shit, and I was on a Greyhound bus the very next day. And I didn't come back for about 3 years because he was already out of diapers and everything. Came back 3 years later, and I was 25. I think I was 21 when I had him. I came back. I was 25 when I did my first hard drug. Her sister handed me a piece of tinfoil, a lighter, and a straw, and said, suck the smoke. And I never did anything, you know, from that except weed and beer. And so she hands me this whole thing like a contraption. And I'm like, I don't know what to do, you know. I'm like, well, hold the tinfoil, I'll do this. And then I did it, and I was zooted. I was like, well, that's a little different than weed. And so I enjoyed it. I don't even know what it was to this day. Honestly, I swear to God, I have no idea what the hell I smoked. But it was, I was up, you know. I was like, wow, man, I'm up, you know, and I liked it. I liked uppers because I was on Ritalin my whole life that brought me down. So anything that would get me up, you know what I mean? I got excluded from everything in my family. I could never go to one baseball game, nothing. I couldn't go out to eat. I couldn't do anything because I wouldn't sit still. So I liked that. And then after that, I don't even know how, guys, really, I started smoking crack. I can't tell you the first time I smoked crack. I don't. I have no idea. All I know is that it went from that tinfoil contraption to me smoking a crack pipe, you know, shortly after, you know, not long, you know, maybe a month or two or something, maybe even shorter than that. And then once I did that, man, I was hooked after that, man. It was just like what they said, like you smoke it once and you're addicted. You know, it didn't have anything to do with, you know, that stuff they say, what's in the front of part of the brain or whatever that you lose or that you got to get back. And then the left side of the brain and all that crap. I did a highly addictive drug. And I got addicted to it, you know what I mean? And so I rode with that for, 43? Until 2 years ago, you know, I smoked crack. You know, like I would burn everything down, you know. I was like a binge user. I would smoke crack for 3 days straight and then stop and then maybe not touch it for months and then go back and then smoke it for 3 days straight and then, you know, stop. And just, I was just year after year after year after year, man, I was doing that shit. That's how I met Abe. You know, somehow, some way, I called up his sister and said, hey, look, I do drugs and I need a, you know, like help or something like that. And she's like, well, my brother has some sober houses. I was like, what the hell's a sober house? You know, and she told me and I was like, I guess. So I came down. Abe put me in his house. 2 weeks later, after he put me in the house, I sold my PlayStation 2, smoked crack. He found out I smoked out of a pop can, and he brought me here, dropped me off. I didn't know anything about rehab. This was the first one I went to. I only been to two. I was in and out of the rooms more than I was to treatment. My parents, they didn't have a lot of money. I wasn't on the insurance thing yet. It wasn't all, you know, like the way it is now. So I came here, I did the 30 days, I think I was out in like 28 or 29 or whatever, but I mean, I did the 30, you know, on fire, you know, oh man, I'm doing this, I got 30 days clean, I got this, I'm going to do the 9 steps and, you know, and all this and that and get the promises and I'm going to call my sponsor every day and go to meetings, it's going to be, you know, like a piece of cake and, you know, you can't tell me nothing. So Abe, he puts me in this house over in Travis Heights, it's like a $1 million area. He had, you know, like a sober house over there. And since I'm family, he wanted to put me in the best one. So he did. I lasted 14 days. And then I snorted cocaine and drank beer. Just like that. I had met a girl actually here in this place. And then we hooked up outside when we went to where I go to my meetings. And then I saw her. Actually, I just saw her legs. And I was like, I know who that is. And then I looked out the door and I said, holy shit, it is. And then we hooked up, and then she didn't come by one night. I was all sad, you know, and I was like, what the hell, man? That sucks. And I was like, well, I got to do something, you know. I was like, she's doing something, I got to do something. You know, she's out there drinking and snorting lines, and I'm going to drink and snort lines too then. You know, I'll show her. So I went and did, and then I left the sober house. You know, he threw me out. And then he put me in another one. And then I smoked crack in that one. Threw me out. Put me in another one. Smoked crack in that one. Threw me out of that. He had about 10 back in the day. He has like 3 now. Had 10. I went to every single one of them. And then some of them I went to twice. And then one time I remember when he threw me out, he dropped me off at this place, like NA24 for like homeless people, man. I was like, are you kidding me, man? I'm like, me? You know, I was like, I come from a good family, you know. I come from fucking New York. You can put me in a homeless shelter. And so we did. And I stayed there for Halloween. I stayed there for, what, like 2-3 weeks? You know, I did there. I got all the food. I got the food stamps. I got the room in the back, you know, with the kitchen. You know, like I'm on fire again. You know, I got all like the macaroni and cheese and making my own meal in the kitchen. I got my room right there. And, man, I'm in hog heaven, man. I was like, man, this is awesome. You know, and then Halloween came, and then my buddies had showed up who I had met here. One's still sober. He went back to Yonkers. And then they came. I left out of there. He put me back in another house. And then I smoked again. Put me in another house. I smoked again. Went back to New York. Smoked in New York. Came back down here. Put me in some more houses, continued smoking. I'm not going into war stories because I'm not about that. I'm not about to tell you, like, who I smoked with, where, how, what, who was around me, all that shit, you know, like hookers and gang members and all that bullshit. That's not me, man. It's our stories are the exact same way, man. We did a drug, we abused it, and then we ended up in treatment. So I just kept smoking and smoking and smoking, you know, and kept getting thrown out of all his houses. And I got a job at Time Warner Cable. I stayed in his last house that he had, and I stayed all the way up until the very end. And then it was time for me to get an apartment because he didn't want that house anymore, and he let it go to somebody else. It was just, you know, the way it is. And I was like, all right, cool. So I got an apartment. I got a studio. You know, he was cool with that. He helped me move in. On the same day that he's helping me move in, you know, I'm getting the key and going to the store and getting beer on the same day. You know, and then I go back to the house where I just was with him, and he was with my sponsor I have now, Tim, and they were doing something in the garage, and I had one more load left, and I got it, and I was already hammered, and then so I got that load, I went back to the apartment, and then I smoked crack that night, and continued smoking crack the entire time in that apartment while I was working for Time Warner Cable. You know, I would just over and over again, you know, I would be letting my family members down. You know, my mom had never got a night's sleep from the age of 25 to 42. She never got a night's sleep. She was always tossing and turning every freaking night. And, one night it was just an ordinary run. You know, I smoked for 3 days. Like I said, I've been doing like a champ forever and ever. And, I came home. My son had moved down. He was 21 at the time, 20 at the time, because he couldn't buy beer yet. He was 20 at the time. And I came home on a Sunday, you know, I was crying, and then he's like, hey, Daddy, what's wrong? And I was like, man, I was like, I think I'm a drug addict. He's like, oh, no, no, no. He's like, I got you. You know, and he started to rub my head, you know, and he's like, we'll figure this out, man. He's like, I got you. Don't worry about nothing. It's just me and you, man. I'm never going to leave you, you know. You know, we'll figure this out. And he's just sitting there trying to rub my head, and you know, I'm over there, you know, I got tears starting to come out and everything, and I'm like, dude, I'm like, I can't stop smoking. You know, I was like, if I don't go to treatment right now, right this second, I said, I'm going to smoke my next, you know, $900 check. That's about what I was getting from Time Warner, and I would smoke the whole thing every 2 weeks. And I already had that in the back of my mind while I'm sitting there crying to my son. He's trying to rub my head and then say it's going to be all right, and I'm thinking 13 days from now I'm going to be high as fuck, you know what I mean? And I'm like, I can't. I tried to be the $80 crack smoker. I tried from the age I was 25 up until I was 43. I tried to smoke 80, have my mom in my life, have Abe in my life, have my brother in my life, still have my nieces, still have a job, still have, you know, like a bank account, and not have any of the consequences. That's why I kept going in and out of the program. You know what I mean? You know, because it wasn't because I wasn't doing the work or I wasn't doing the work. I mean, I was never doing the work or else I would have never went back out. You know what I mean? But I tried to become that smoker. I wanted to smoke. You couldn't tell me that if I drank beer, I was going to smoke crack. There was no way. I was like, I'm not, you know, a retard. There's no way that my brain is going to go. And then all of a sudden, like, I drink, you know, a Bud, and then now all of a sudden I'm going to smoke crack. I'm like, there's no way. I'm like, how is that even possible? How is that even possible for a human to do that? You know what I mean? And then I'm looking on Google, and I'm like, is AA the only way? You know, is there? And I'm looking at these things on Google on my phone. You know, because that's how sick I am. I'm like, man, I'm like, can I stay sober without going to AA? You know, I put that in word for word on Google. I put in there word for word on Google, is AA a cult? I put in there on Google, did Bill Wilson beat his wife and pop pills? Did Bill Wilson, is he a hypocrite? Every single thing I could think of, right, to find something to point to you guys to be like, I told you this program is full of shit. You know, look at Bill. You know, this guy was a scumbag. You know, like, you guys worship him. You know, and just anything I could find, right, so I didn't have to do the work or stay sober. And so I called Abe, you know, for the last time, and I say the last time because I'm still sober. And I said, hey, man, I said, I fucked up. And he's like, yeah. I was like, I need some help. He's like, I'll be right there. And I was like, all right, cool. And about like an hour and a half later, he shows up. And then he sits on the couch. I'm still on the bed in tears. You know, I'm telling him I can't stop smoking. And then while I'm saying that, I'm crying. So I'm saying it like 9 times in a row. And then my son's crying. And I was like, I don't know what to do, man. And then what goes through my brain is, because I'm 42, right? So I've been around the block a little bit. So I know, I'm like, man, I got some insurance with Time Warner, man. I'm going to rehab, man. I'm going to get a swimming pool. I'm going to get, you know, that place that has a good cook. You know, they're going to have some nice beds and everything. And I'm like, man, this is going to be on. And still going through my mind, right, when I'm really wanting to stop. But I'm like, man, I got insurance finally, you know. So finally I can go to, you know, a nice rehab, you know. Because I didn't come here when this place looked like this. I came here when there was nothing, you know, except for a horse out there. That was it. That was my best friend. And so he's like, yeah, he's like, pack your stuff up and you're going to Brazos. I was like, Now, you know, because it was like, I think it was a Friday or Saturday or something, you know, and I was like, now, I just got done pleading to him, right, and 30 seconds later, I'm like, well, why can't we do it Monday? You know what I mean? Why we got to do it, you know what I'm saying, right this second? He's like, jump in the shower, get your ass in there, and go get a hot shower, and then, like, come out and pack your shit. And I was like, all right. So I did, you know, so I jumped in the shower. I was in there for like an hour. You know, I found like a pipe under the sink. I did one more little push, you know, and I got in the shower, you know, and I'm just all the way to the end, man, you know, just to the bare end. You know, I was so stubborn, dude, so fucking stupid. And so I hop out of the shower and then, like I said, I know like the rehab thing, right? So I go out and then I get all the nice shirts I have, like the button-ups and the polos and my nice jeans and everything. I line them all up, you know, and this is what I'm going to take there. Because I remember I came here once before, you know, like shorts and flip-flop and a pair of socks or whatever. I was like, I ain't doing that again, man. I'm going to be like all decked out, you know. And so I had all that stuff there, right? And then when I finally get there, this is in the middle of the night, man. I've been up for 3 days. And then now I'm on the road with this crazy dude, Rhett, playing like Candlebox. And then driving like 120 for like 2 hours going down towards Fort Worth. And I'm just miserable. And then I get there and I pack like 3 shorts, 2 pairs of socks, and like 4 t-shirts. And it's in the middle of winter. You know, and then it turned out that there's like frost on the ground there and everything. And I mean, it was so cold, man. And I was like, whoa, what happened? And then I got there, but when I got there, I hit the ground running. You know what I mean? It was just something inside of me had switched. You know, like the only thing I can say is that, you know, like I say, it's like that spiral light bulb. And then you know how you flip the switch and then you have those and then it gets, you know, like it's dim and then it gets brighter after a while. And then that was like every day there. You know, and that place is pretty hardcore. It's, you know, like a big book place. You know, they give you a packet. And it's got all the steps in it, you know, like step one was like 63 questions long, step 12 was like 89, and they're all like a paragraph long for all 89, you know, so I did all the steps, and you know, I get in there, and you know, I did step one, and then I felt something little, you know, and you know, like, don't get it twisted. I mean, I went in there and I had fun. You know, I was playing volleyball and stuff like that, man. But I wasn't hanging around the knuckleheads this time. You know, I wasn't doing it, man. And because there was some there. I just wasn't doing it, man. I knew all along from the very first time I saw Abe. I met Abe's got 11 or 12 years sober, or 13, somewhere around those three numbers. But I met him when he was working on his fourth year. And then when I went to treatment this last time, you know what I mean? It was, you know, he was up in the double digits. So it's like, and then knowing you and then, you know, like other people, it's like, I know it works. And I know what you guys are asking me to do is like, I can't smoke crack and I can't drink. You know what I mean? And I got to do the step work and I'm good. You know what I mean? And then start to live my life by the principles. And I was like, I know that. And I got proof all around me that that works. But I never wanted to do that because I still wanted to smoke and drink. I did so many third steps and fifth steps and lied to people while I'm doing my third step, you know, prayer, sitting there knee to knee with someone saying, God, I offer myself to you to build with me, do with me as I will. And I'm like, I'm still going to drink, man. I don't care. You know, and I'm doing them with him. You know what I mean? And just lying. You know what I mean? But I knew I had to do that because it would keep a roof over my head and it would keep my mom in my back pocket for money, right? So I would do whatever it took. I'm just that way. You know what I'm saying? Whatever it takes to keep money in my pocket and a roof over my head, I'm going to do whatever you want. I came in and out of this program so many times. I worked the steps every single time. I went to step 12 every single time. And then I still relapsed because I wasn't really working them. I was just going through them just so I can have a roof over my head so I wouldn't be homeless. And so when I got to treatment the second time, that was it, man. I just started doing the work. I did my third step in there. And you have a mentor that brings you through the work. And then I took him, and then I picked this other guy, Parker, and he's still sober, still. The other guy, Mike, isn't, but, I mean, he's like a weirdo, so that's fine. But, I mean, Parker's solid. No, I mean, he's like a scumbag. But Parker's good. And then, so I did my third step with these two people, and so I was out at the arbor like that, and I was smoking a cigarette, and then I put the cigarette out, and then I started walking towards the table, and this is just me. I had a vision, and then I shit you not, man. I tell everybody, man, I swear to God on my son's life is that I was walking towards the table, and then I had a picture of Jesus, and then he was surrounded by fire, right? And then I could see him, and that I'm walking towards him and the table at the same time, and I just start crying. I just start like crying my ass off, and then while I'm walking, I felt like every single lie and nasty, dark, disgusting thing I did, you know, towards my mom, towards Abe, towards, you know, my brother, you know, my son, you know, I would smoke crack in the bathroom while he's out playing on the jungle gym. You know, every nasty fucking thing I did, I felt that it was leaving me while I was walking to that table. And then I did my third step. And then I hugged a guy, and I was crying when I hugged him, and then I hugged Parker, and then I was still crying while I hugged him, and then I walked back, and then I was smoking a cigarette, and then the other guys were coming out, and I'm like, well, I better wipe off my tears, you know, because I don't want them to see me crying, you know, so I did that, and then after then, that's when that switch happened. It was just like that. It was like, I'm done. I was like, no more, you know. I was like, whatever nonsense is out there, whatever, you know, bad thing, bad person or whatever is not going to be anywhere near me. And I just started rocking and rolling on all the steps after that. Step 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I got to step 6 or whatever, and then my insurance had run out. Because obviously I got fired by Time Warner, but by law they have to keep you on for 30 days. So day 31-ish, I got a call to go into the office, and they said, hey, your insurance dropped. And I was like, if you throw me out of here now on step 6, I said, I'm smoking crack. I said, it's guaranteed. I said, I'll tell you right now. I said, I'm smoking fucking crack. And so I went to my counselor and I said, look, man, I said, I'll make you a deal. I said, you keep me here on your dime somehow, some way. I said, don't call my mother and ask her for any money and have her pay for this shit. I said, if I find that out, I said, I'm walking. I said, you pay me on your dime. And I said, I'll get through these steps in a timely manner because you're paying for it. And I said, I'll finish all of these steps. And then she's like, all right, I'm going to hold you to it. So it took me I left there. I was there for like 42 days. So I think I was there for like another 11 days. And I finished step 6 through 12. And then, as I said, step 12 was 89 questions long. And it was like a paragraph each one. What it is that they go through the book word for word, line for line. And then they have questions and answers, and so you just work your way all the way through it. And what I didn't know throughout all these years is that the first, from page 1 to page, it's either 98 or 112, is that that's all the 12 steps right there. Is that that step 1 through 12 is on page 1 through 110 or something like that. And then all the rest is just other stuff about staying sober and all that other stuff. But all the steps are right there. And so I finished that. And then I got out. Had nothing to my name. I didn't have a cell phone. You know, I wasn't the guy like, well, if I just have a cell phone, everything is going to be okay. You know, mom's got to do this. Because I was that guy once. They bought me so many cell phones. My mom bought me so many cell phones. I had a stack of Xboxes in my closet at one time because every time I would buy an Xbox, I would get rid of it to smoke crack. Abe came over to my studio once over there in Hyde Park, opened up the closet, and I shit you not, from the bottom to the top, front to back, was full of Xboxes for the boxes because I just couldn't hold on to them. So I got out. And then he said, I want you to stay in the house I got. He said, it's an under 30-day house, but it's right across the street from my personal house. He said, I know you have over 30, but he's like, I want you to stay there. He said that you could bring your dog. He said, it's all right because I got a boxer. He's been with me ever since through every hotel I've been in smoking crack. The time I went to Memphis on my way to New York, which I never made it to New York. I got stuck in Memphis. I found a dude on the street. I asked him for crack. He said, okay. I had my dog. We were in the Elvis Presley Hotel or something on Elvis Presley Boulevard over there in Memphis for 3.5-4 days. Smoking crack. Finally called Abe. He came and got me. Had to drive home. I got my 4Runner back. There was a story about that. And then brought me back to the house. And I had everything I owned in that 4Runner, right? Because I was on my way to New York. And the guy left for the last time when he went to go get the crack for me, and then he came, and then when I got the 4Runner back, there was nothing in it. So I had nothing when I went back to his final house, and when he brought me back to that final house, I lasted a week, and then I smoked crack again. I smoked crack on the day of Christmas. He's asking me where I'm at, and I'm like, I'm on my way, and then I get to his parents' house, and you know, it was just a nightmare. But I got out of, but as I said, sorry, I got ADD. I got out of treatment, and I go to his house, And I got no job, no money, no cell phone, no nothing, right? But I got a smile on my face, man. I didn't worry about nothing. You know, I went 2 weeks, I think, 2.5 weeks with no cell phone. 2.5 weeks or if not longer with no job. You know what I mean? I was just staying sober, hitting meetings, doing whatever he said. Because I made him a promise at the treatment center. He sat down and I stared at him and I said, from now on, I said, for the rest of my life, I said, whatever you want me to do, I said, I promise you this. I said, I will do every single thing that you fucking ask me. I said, no questions asked. I said, I will do whatever you want me to do. And he said, okay. And I've been doing that ever since for like 22 months. Every single time he tells me to do something, I say yes. Every single time he tells me to hop in the truck, I say yes. Every single time he has a suggestion of what I should do on the program or a step, I take the suggestion and I treat his statement as like a rhetorical question. I don't answer it back because I'm sick of having people, I try to tell them what to do and then they come back and, yeah, but this and this and this. I don't do that anymore because when you do that, you're not done. So if you see yourself doing that, when someone tries to help you and tries to give you a suggestion and then you, no matter what you spit out of your mouth, but if someone tells you a suggestion in the program and you come back with any word out of your mouth, it's that you still think that you got power and you're not done. Or else you're willing to do whatever it takes in order to stay sober. You're not going to question whatever comes out of Chris's mouth. You're not ever going to question what comes out of a counselor's mouth. You're going to take what they say, you know, like the Bible, you know what I'm saying? Because you're done. And that's the way I've been living my life. I'm a member. I have a home group. I'm a GSR of my home group. I go to area meetings. I show up every single Thursday at my meeting. When my stepfather passed away on a Tuesday at 5:30, I got the news. I went over to my brother's house. He told me that my stepdad was dead. By 7:30, I was at 101 that night telling my story. On the same day that I just found out that my stepdad was dead, 2 hours later, I'm telling my story, and then I'm on my way to Allen so I can bury my stepfather. And then I go up to New York after that, and then I spread his ashes, and I still didn't drink in New York. You know, I had a girlfriend inside these 22 months that left me, and it fucking crushed me, and I still didn't smoke crack. horrible, horrible, awful, nasty things happened to my son. I still didn't smoke crack. I've been sober ever since, man. You know, I don't have a pot to piss in right now, man. I mean, I really don't. You know, I left my wallet at the house. I don't have a dollar to my name, right? I don't have nothing. You know what I'm saying? But I got a smile on my face. I was smiling on my way down that, you know, that little driveway thing. And when Chris asked me to tell my story, I was like, yeah, sure. I'm not up here saying, like, life's great and all this and that, you know. And someone asked, you know, and this is just, you know, I just got to say it, you know, like about the 9-step promises and all that shit. You want me to tell you what that is? Is that the 9-step promise is that they're going to promise you that you're going to wake up and you're not going to want to shoot dope. That's the 9-step promises. Everything else, you know, that you think it is what the 9-step promises is bullshit. Is that the 9-step promises that you're going to wake up for the rest of your life and you're not going to ever want to think about smoking dope. That's what I have. That's the 9-step promise for me. It ain't about a TV. It ain't about a job. It ain't about a car. It ain't about a truck. It ain't about, you know, like the smoking hot blonde by my side. That's not a 9-step promise. What the 9-step promise for me is that I can wake up and it doesn't matter who dies or whatever God throws in my direction, I'm not smoking crack. I know to this day that smoking crack is a bad idea. And I live my life one day at a time. Thanks.